Did you leave high school with your 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 distinctions? You felt smart, ne? Then you enter the accounting program with a chip or two on your shoulder, being willing to accept like a maybe 70, 75% aggregate. You get your first test back. You look up at the screen as they celebrate the top 10 in the class. You see number 10 got 75%. You look down and you see you got 50%, if that. If you've ever experienced such a common and humbling experience, you will love this episode as Marlu lays out his sobering experience in the program and the metamorphosis that followed it. Marnu is a seeker of knowledge and expertise. He's the type of aspiring CA who, in my view, truly has no limits. He is like a sponge, leveraging every opportunity to learn from his experiences and from those of others. We chat about asking the right questions, being the smartest in the room, the power of osmosis and spending time around the right people, what it actually takes to be a top student, making memories on the road, and so much more. This one is thoughtful, just as Marnu is, and I hope you learn from him as much as I have, and that you enjoy. Hello, my travelers on the road. Did you guys know that there are over 600 options for articles? The 3 years of training to get your CA qualification, for those who don't know. Hectic, right? I was astounded when I found out. You know where I found out? A company called Apti, founded by CA trainees. Apti helps students discover, apply for, and land their dream SAICA, SAIT, or CIMA articles, all for free. I thought it was too good to be true, but these guys are legit. There's a common theme I hear from fellow aspiring CAs. You sign somewhere because you feel like it's the only opportunity you'll get to secure an articles contract, and then you feel like you're done and that you're off the market. But there are options. Over 600 others, in fact. Imagine having to search, though. To search, sift through, and apply to over 600 programs. That's overwhelming, man, if you ask me, while trying to get this degree. Ha, come now. That's why Apti has your back and will completely handle all of that hassle from application to signing. Not in 600, but all in one place. I met with some of the founders, Luke and Nick, and man, they are hungry, they are ambitious, and they're on the road just like you. That's the best thing. They are entrepreneurs doing the dance. Moreover, I think they're just really great guys who are in service of students through Apti. A lot of us want to use the CA to get into business, but don't know exactly how. That's why Luke and Nick are actually offering a free career strategy call for the first 5 people to, number one, complete their Apti profile. Obviously, it's free to use Apti. But two, once done, DM the Road to CA Instagram the word CASA. You can ask them entrepreneurship advice, career advice, or really just put yourself out there and network with some fellow travelers doing extraordinary things. Otherwise, in any case, Apti is still completely free. It's open to all students, and their website will be linked in the show notes. If you want your dream articles and don't want to just settle for what comes by, if you don't want to apply to 600 programs, click the link in the show notes, fill in your profile, and get started all for free. With that, let's get on to the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is the Road to CA. It's yours, it's mine, it's our conversation, where we look back, look within, and we look beyond, not in the hopes that it will end, but that it will begin in CASA.
Today, we have a very thoughtful mind with us. Every time he speaks, I listen. Because there's this unabashed inquisitiveness in every word he utters, which I truly respect and admire as a fellow traveler on the road. Hailing from the East Rand, from a farm in Brakpan, he is a lifelong learner who loves to learn and also spend time with driven people. He's a sponge, I must say. He's truly amazing in my eyes. He's a first-year trainee on the road and loves fishing as well as running. We're joined by Marnu Puerta. Marnu, how are you, man?
Anlinga, I am doing very well. And yourself?
I am fantastic. And I'm excited about this conversation because so Marnu's my academic trainee, right? And whenever he speaks, so for those who don't know what an academic trainee is, in the CA journey, you do your 3 years of articles. And that first year of articles, you can actually train as an extra lecturer for a university. So he's one of our academic trainees in his first year of articles training. And man, I'll have to be honest. I respect people who are inquisitive, truly inquisitive. Because there's people who like ask questions for the sake of it. I used to be one of those, actually. I used to just ask questions. It's why I can ask questions. But you really want to find out, eh?
Yes.
Like you're really searching. You're really thinking. Yes. Where does it come from? What do you think?
Anunga, that's a very good question. So I would say the time I really started asking more questions, I would say would possibly be in my CTA year. I didn't always have a very deep interest in the content that we do have. To be brutally honest with you, I did not have a very big interest in it. In my CTA year, I was exposed to some of the people in my class who are very passionate about the stuff we do and the stuff they are going to do one day. And I just think spending a bit more time with them, their interest maybe rubs off a little bit. So I would say that is quite possibly the time I started asking a bit more questions or just getting a bit more interest in what we do.
Would you say you changed during CTA?
Absolutely.
You think?
Yes.
Because some people that I've been talking with as well, so as everyone knows, I failed last year. And so now there's a group that I was with that is ahead of me now in CTA. I don't see some of them I don't see change. I see them and I chat with them like, maybe there's a few things that have changed in the way they do things, but they're the same types of people. So how would you say you've changed?
So the way in which I changed, I would say, and this is quite possibly not the, I think it is a good thing. So the way in which I changed, Anunga, long and short, so the people I were exposed to in CTA, they were the top students in the class. Ideally, before that, I was a bit cocky. And I think as I met these people, I started to get very hard on myself.
Oh, damn, yeah.
Yes.
Insecure.
Not necessarily insecure, but just...
They were working harder.
Yes.
I didn't do that 10 hours that they did.
Exactly that. Yes. And a lot of the times they really outperformed me in assessments. Mm-hmm. I don't think you feel inferior, really. Mm-hmm. But you do get a sense that you are not the main peanut in the class. And that is what I really saw in CTA, is that you do get... Yeah, they are very strong people beside you. And it's very easy to feel or believe that you are one of the best there. But then you do see that it is not always the case. Yes.
How did you get beside them? Because now it's CTA. Many things change in CTA. But how did you start to spend time with the top students?
So when I was in CTA, they appointed tutors in the auditing department. And obviously, the tutors, ideally, you want them to be quite strong academically. It was through that platform that I met these people in more closely. I met them a bit more closely. And yeah, then you obviously converse about assessments, you converse about content, and then you just realize that there are people that understand things better than you. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can also get there, but some people do just understand things a little bit more quickly. Some people just work much more than you do.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts. An interesting story, an interesting person comes to mind. Jim Simmons, he was one of the founders of Renaissance Tech. So it's actually a quantitative hedge fund in the US, right? And there's a book that was written of him.
Okay.
Because he, through his quantitative hedge fund and the thing that he built with other people, they found that they created a quantitative algorithm that could have 50.1% accuracy. So with that, if a computer is making 50.1% accurate decisions, they eventually cracked this problem of just volume. So now they just need to trade enough.
Yes.
And it's one of the biggest hedge funds in the world, one of our best performing hedge funds in the world. Where I'm getting to this is that Jim Simmons, very early on, so he's a very intelligent guy, but I think he studied at MIT. When he went to MIT, he soon found out, although he was gifted mathematically and he was a talent in the space, that he wasn't the biggest peanut in the room.
Yes.
Similarly to what you found out. And he actually found strength in that. And what he did is he said, okay, look. I'm not as smart as those guys. I'm smart. I'm in the conversation. I mean, just to be in the course and to be in accounting science, you have to be a certain level.
Yes.
Right? And in your case, to be a tutor, you had to be of a certain level. But what he had, he felt he had impeccable taste. So he knew the problems. It's what he calls taste. He knew the problems that people would solve. And then he put them all together, started Renaissance Tech, which is one of the biggest hedge funds in the world. So you don't necessarily have to be the smartest person in the room. I think you just have to know your talents.
Yes.
Know yourself. Keep learning.
Yes. Yeah. And I'd also just like to add, Ilunga, and this is probably a little bit of a contagious point. Maybe you don't agree with me. But I really, truly believe everyone in your class can really, really do well if you just are in conversation with really driven people. So just as an example, I still have a very good friend, and he also failed his second year accounting. And walking into third year, he ended up in the top 10. And
so he failed second year.
Failed second year, yes.
At the end of the second attempt, was top 10.
Yes. I think that speaks exactly to what my point is. I do think if you are conversing with the right people, you really, really can. It is absolutely just beneficial to you. And sometimes I do think, and I saw this even with myself, people doubt themselves all the time. They think, well, these people are just smarter, and they stop there.
Yeah.
It's not the case. What I have realized, though, is that people do work exceptionally hard. They really, really, really do hard. And you don't always realize that. So it's very easy to stop and be very hard on yourself, where you don't always know the backstory of what other people are actually doing, going through.
And I think that's a big lesson. I've realized, you know, there's this sort of, I don't like to talk in absolutes, but there are sort of two types of people. There's the people that, there's the people that want to win, and then there's the people that are willing to do what it takes to win. Because what it takes to win is so much, it's so much more insurmountable. It's insurmountable to the mind of someone who's never seen a winner. And I think that's what you're talking to. When you start to talk to the winners, you start to see, oh, you spend 10 hours on one topic on a Saturday. You start to really maybe conceptualize a little bit at least what it actually takes to win. But if people were to actually talk to some of the guys who are winning,
I say that quote unquote because, I mean, we're all different and we're all at different stages in our lives.
But if you were to have the conversation with the guy, you'll find that there's guys in your class that are spending 12 hours every single day.
Yes.
12 hours. Plus, they're also talented. Plus, they've been working since second year. You know, all these various factors. But just the fact that someone puts in 12 hours a day, have you fathomed that, you know, type of thing? Person listening to this, have you thought about that?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know them.
I mean, you know them, and you've taken it in.
Yes.
That's the reality.
That is the reality, Alunga. And you're going to see that even after Varsity as well.
Okay, Marunu, let's go back. I didn't even get into the questions yet. Let's rewind to get to know Marunu Puerta. Why, and pretty much, where did you come from to land at the road to CA?
So Alunga, I have a very, very particular interest in business.
Yeah.
I would say that is exactly the main reason I chose this particular degree, is I really do see a very, very stimulating life. Being in business. I do think in other careers, and it's not necessarily that CA is going to give you it's going to stimulate you on a daily, day-to-day basis. It's not a given, but I do think this particular career, it gives you the opportunity to deal with different types of problems on a day-to-day basis, so that you don't actually wake up every single morning and you do the exact same over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that is, for me, where the benefit in this lies. Mm-hmm. There are other degrees that are going to pay you more. It's the truth. But for me, it's very much just looking at what satisfaction am I going to get from doing something. Mm-hmm. That I'm not maybe one day 50 years old and absolutely hate my job because I've been doing the same thing for 20 years.
When did you think about that? Because that's a very, that's like a hard pill to swallow. Like just understanding that a job isn't only there for money, but it's also there for your stimulus to keep you alive. Jobs are there not just from the provisional point of view, the resource point of view, but your brain. Like, was there a person that instilled this?
Absolutely.
This idea?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. I'm rather not going to mention any names.
Cool, cool.
But I have met CAs in business.
Okay.
Some CAs and some lawyers in business who don't want to retire.
Yeah.
They want to keep on working because as soon as they sit down and don't have anything to keep themselves busy with. Mm-hmm. They absolutely don't enjoy that. So, yes, I have met people that have very stimulating jobs that keep them busy with different problems on a day-to-day basis. And ideally for me, that is where I also want to be when I'm hopefully one day 70, 80 years old, in a position where I don't really want to retire. Mm. And I just want to keep on doing what I am doing.
I mean, look at Warren Buffett.
Yes, exactly.
Goodness gracious, 93. His friend Charlie Munger died working.
Yes.
And it's beautiful that I can say working, because people's relationship with work, I think sometimes it's very toxic. That work should be something that you were born to do, that at 93 you can work. And that's one of the reasons, I'm sure, if you were to ask Warren Buffett, what would you say could you attribute to your long life? Work.
Yes.
He's still in the game.
Yes.
He's still there.
Yeah. Well, I might also add that it sounds very fluffy and nice, but the people do, I think, they do really deal sometimes with very difficult problems.
Yeah.
So it's not always a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always a very good thing. They do tend to live a bit more stressful lives, which is not always a very good thing. But for me, it is absolutely just because of the stimulus that it can possibly provide.
Mm. It's powerful, dude. It's powerful. And you mentioned some people live stressful lives. But I mentioned this in the first episode that I recorded. There is scientific evidence that the way you frame stress can actually make or break you. So if you frame stress as what we do, stress, oh, I've got that test tomorrow. Oh, I haven't studied. Oh, they're going too fast in class. When you frame stress as stress, that's what has negative implications on your health. Whereas if you view stress as pressure and view pressure as your privilege, which you very well can if you understand what you're doing here in this degree, which I'm sure some of those driven people that you've met feel, then it becomes worth it. And actually, it enhances your performance and it enhances your life, because the people that view pressure as a privilege are able to hold the world like Atlas did. Have you seen?
Yes, I've seen that picture.
They're the ones who can hold the... Because how can a CEO do it? If I cannot pass that one CEV, or if I can't get through this lecture, how can the CEO hold this company, this multinational conglomerate together? How? Privilege. It's a privilege. It's a privilege, the things he goes through, and he understands that. Marnu, you believe that fun is crucial in education. I want us to delve into that. Why do you think that?
So I'm going to rephrase your phrase, Alunga.
Okay.
I think fun is a part of your education.
Okay.
I think it is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think especially this period, meeting people, doing fun stuff with your friends, doing sports, even if it's just playing games, anything other than academics, is to just also incorporate that element. Yes. I think it's very important.
Mm.
But I do, yeah. So exactly as you said, fun stuff, I do think it is very much an important thing.
Mm.
Because ideally that is also what you're going to remember one day.
Oh, yeah.
So when you one day walk out of varsity, and I mean you both are still in varsity, having tests. But I do think, and I've seen this now with my friends working in practice already, is the things that you really do remember is the stuff that you did with them.
Mm.
You are going to remember a couple of CVs or tests that went horribly bad. You are going to remember that. Similarly, you are going to remember the test that went exceptionally well as well, and where you were rewarded. You are going to remember that too. But the things that you are going to remember the absolute best is the fun stuff.
That's true, man. And literally the other day, I was out with my brother and some of his friends. So he's now almost a CA, and they took this little hacky sack. They used to play this thing. It's like a little beanbag ball.
Yes.
They used to play hacky sack, especially in CTA, in between the breaks. And in honors, they would play hacky sack. And being there, so someone brought a hacky sack to this bar that we were at. Being there and partaking in the activity, I could see them reliving those great memories of, you know, obviously they were going through it, man. It was CTA. You're really struggling. But at the same time, you had a break and you played hacky with the boys.
Yes.
You know, it's true, man. Those fun ones, those fun memories, they're golden if we make them.
Yes.
They're golden if we make them.
Yes.
Marnu, you are a very curious person. I want to know, now that you've become this curious person after CTA, where do your curiosities lead you? Do they stop academically, or do they go anywhere else?
So, Alunga, I think mainly for now,
yeah,
they are academically.
Mm-hmm.
I do, obviously on a very small basis, I do try to touch a little bit on real events.
Mm-hmm.
If that is answering your question, more or less.
I think that definitely does answer it, because maybe that news article that you saw, and then you go and you check out the financial statements of the company that it was pertaining to, that's like curiosity. Going down the rabbit hole on Google,
that's part of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is what I try to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but I do think, and you're going to see this especially next year, Linga.
Mm.
The lecturers in CTA are all very, very, very good. And I do think from attending some of the lectures, I think especially with the FBS people, you are going to see, or you're going to have maybe a bit more interest in what is actually going on in some of the businesses, what actually goes on when you trade stocks. So, yeah, obviously on a very, very small basis, I do try to just touch on this a little bit to just learn.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
Definitely does. I think you're very academically strong, and that's where your focus is. But obviously, seeing that CTA was that pivotal moment, you've now seen that it's also fun outside in the real world.
It's
fun outside there.
Yes.
Marnu, if you could go back as a closing question, if you could go back to first year, high school, even you, what would you tell them?
That is a very good question. That is a very good question, Alunga. I haven't really thought about that. I would quite possibly say to myself, there is definitely going to be some change in the near future. Yeah, I think that is what I would have say to myself, yes, to be ready for a very big change. Yes,
and that's the only constant, isn't there?
That is the constant. Yes,
that is the constant, the only real constant. And things will change.
Yes,
things will change, and I think it's a powerful epiphany or realization that you can come to that it's okay. and that it's expected for things to change. Guys, please tell us a belief if you have not already. Follow this if you are listening. And please do share this with all the other aspiring CAs. Marnu has given me a lot to mull on, a lot to think about. And I want to send a big congratulations to you for coming round to this level of understanding. Because, man, your unabashed inquisitiveness, your unabashed curiosity, and just, I think you just don't have any resistance. That is understanding, man. I really want to congratulate you and thank you for your time here today on the road to CA, man.
Thank you, Olungan. Thank you for the opportunity to be here as well.
All right, thank you, man. Thank you. Have a great day, man.
That's it. Same to you, Olungan.